This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run studios. Hour two brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. You know it by now. The promo code FANRUN, one word, for 15% off your booking. Go throw some axes with our friends at Kraft Axe Throwing. They got booze. They got TVs. They got axes. They got fun for everyone. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
On this day, June 17th. I can't believe it's already June 17th. In 1994, John, do you want to take a guess at what happened on this day?
June 17th, 1994. Okay, so it wouldn't be the shot. I'm waiting for that one for Jordan. We already did the flu game. 94, Jordan would have been playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That means the Rockets would have won. Ah, June 17th, 1994. That'd be the OJ chase, right? Because that was during a finals game between the Rockets and the Knicks.
Wow, look at you.
I got these unlocked, Draven.
Pretty impressive. But yeah, it was with 95 million viewers, as it remains one of the still the most watched events in television history.
I mean, I feel like that was the jumping off point between the chase. You said 95 million people, which I feel like I remember that as a kid, but I don't know if I actually do. Like,
how old were you?
I swear I was like four.
Four, not
four and a half. Like, I feel like I was watching, because I told you, like, we used to only have like the regular channels. So, like, I feel like I was watching the Knicks Rockets game, and
cut into the
game.
You had to
watch,
crazy.
The Knicks Rockets, like, in the little corner. I remember being mad about it, but obviously I didn't know who the hell OJ Simpson was. I might have made this up in my head, though.
I feel like
I watched it, but I might be making this up in my head. But for better or worse, this was the jumping off point of like reality TV and broadcast news, like, becoming such a big thing. Like, reality TV, our obsession with celebrities and scandal, and also the news coverage. I mean, when you saw you could do 95 million views on a news story, on a murder case, like, that leads to the CNN model, all the cable subscription news, where you just cover this stuff around the clock. And then the trial, of course, showed that thirst as well.
Yep.
I love a good car chase.
Yeah.
I love watching.
How long did he
chase.
Go, by the way? How long did this chase go on? Do we know?
40 minutes or so is what I want to say, but I might be wrong. It was a pretty low speed chase for, I think, 40 minutes. I've watched, you know, the was it a 6-part documentary on ESPN, the OJ Made in America? Was it a 5-part documentary, I think? And then I watched the FX, the People versus OJ. So, like, some of that stuff's just kind of, most of my knowledge is built in from that. But I want to say it was like 40 minutes or something. There was like a little bit of a standoff at his house.
It says lasted for nearly 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Well, so a little bit longer.
The whole event, maybe? Because there's a time at the house, too, where they let him go in and get his stuff.
Car chase, which took place on LA 405 freeway, lasted for nearly 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And then surrounded.
Imagine being glued to the TV for 2 hours. That's like a movie, just watching.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a good chance that you thought, like,
did they air? I'm very curious. They aired the whole 2 hours, I'm wondering, or did they cut back into the game?
95 million. No, I'm pretty sure, like, the whole game was just kind of like it there in the corner.
Yikes.
But, I mean, I think there was fear that, like, he was going to kill himself.
Right.
Like, in the car. Like, I mean, that was kind of, like, you can't have this, like, big-time celebrity, like, shoot himself on camera.
Just an unreal amount of cop cars chasing him, too. Just
all pretty low speed, too.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy time. Let's see, how long ago was that now? What, 20, do some math here, 26 years, right? 27 years?
Yep.
27?
You got it. There you go. It's 2021 now.
Yeah.
It happens.
Still forget about that.
My starting point is still 2000. Still weird.
Yeah.
Trying to figure stuff out.
Really, though. Speaking of just old times, old players, Tom Brady back on the Madden 22 cover as we had the official cover get released. We had the trailer get released. He will be joined by, I guess they're calling this the MVP edition. I don't know. You brought this up. Could be Super Bowl MVPs. I'm not sure, but it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I believe Cam called this one the big goat and the little goat next to each other is representing Tom Brady and Mahomes.
This is absurd.
What's wrong with this?
These guys both have had covers in the past 5 years.
That is a good point. What, Madden 20 and we decide what, Madden 17?
17 was the one Tom Brady had, but
I believe it's 18. 18. Yeah, 17 was Gronk. 18 was Brady. Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest. Outside of Derrick Henry, who I would have wanted on there, who had a 2,000-yard season, but, like, who else would you put on there? Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform who might not be with the Packers? Yeah. Deshaun Watson, who, you know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Like, who would you want there? Russell Wilson? Like,
I could see Christian McCaffrey in the future.
Who the hell? I mean, like, but coming off an injury.
I mean,
like, in the future, sure. But, like, I'm talking about this year, like, Who'd you want? Baker Mayfield, like Josh Allen, like those guys ain't moving copies of Madden. No one cares about them.
I love the ones of Ryan Fitzpatrick though. The ones that like people sent in. Yeah.
I just don't know if there's a good option for that. I don't know if there's a star. Again, you got a couple of your quarterbacks doing the things. Kyler Murray kind of fell apart. Like he didn't do anything worthy of being on there.
Still, I think Cam has a good point considering these guys have been on there recently. Sure. Not even just like before, but recently. Yes. Yeah.
Should have put Derrick Henry on there.
I would agree with that. Maybe.
Or Rodgers, but again, can't put him on there.
Aaron Donald? Anybody, man.
Donald would be a nice one.
Then you'd have to do like a defensive tackle mode. You'd have to do something that improved your defensive tackle play.
Quarterbacks is what it's about. I mean, that's what draws the attention. Yeah. Do you guys?
Madden's going to sell regardless is my thing. Like,
yeah. It's the same game over and over.
I don't think anybody's like, I'm buying this year's edition because this guy's on it. Like,
yeah. Did you watch a trailer, Cam, of it?
Not.
Because you're a big Madden guy. I didn't know if you...
Yeah, I haven't watched the trailer yet.
Yeah.
I took a hiatus from buying it this past
year. It looks
year.
Like it could be different, but then again, these trailers always like make it look so much cooler than it is, and then you actually get it, and it's like, oh, wow, it's the same thing with like three different little new ideas that they put in there.
Yeah, I'm a big franchise mode person.
I am too. The franchise mode did look a little different, though, so maybe some good news there for people that like that.
They need some help fixing that, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Staying in football, did you guys please tell me you guys saw that there's going to be a new bowl game, or at least a new name for it, the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl. Jimmy Kimmel is getting a bowl game named after him, the new L.A. Bowl that will be played in SoFi Stadium. It's going to be featuring Mountain West's number one selection versus Pac-12's number five selection, debuting on December 18th. So excitement.
It's just the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, not the Jimmy Kimmel Show Bowl? Like,
it's the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl is what they're calling it. So Jimmy
I assume it's going to be built around his show.
I guess, but like, shouldn't it be like, isn't like a sponsorship usually that obviously does it, that has money to provide for?
I'm saying ABC and ESPN or you know, Disney owns that. So I'm imagining that, you know, game's going to be on that channel.
Yeah.
So maybe they want Jimmy Kimmel, the show, to like just be a big brand. And Jimmy Kimmel does a lot with ABC. I mean, just, you know, host reward shows and all that. So.
You a Jimmy Kimmel fan?
I like Jimmy Kimmel. He's my favorite of the.
I was going to say, is he the best? Is he the best out there right now?
He's just been my favorite. I don't know.
Yeah. Still a little bit of a surprise that they named a whole bowl game after him, but either way.
That's what I'd imagine be based off his show, but who knows.
Right. Did you guys see Drew Brees? Surprise, surprise. Not with the Saints, working with them in the offseason. He was over in L.A. working with the Chargers, working with Justin Herbert, and he said that...
He's still alive?
He is. He's still thriving. Coaching him up, getting him ready. He says that Justin Herbert
has... ruined my boy and tell him how to throw slant routes and checkdowns. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Come on. Veteran player, good expertise, right?
Yeah,
and he also
when in doubt, dump it down to Darren Sproles. Oh wait, you don't have that. Oh, Alvin. Oh no, Eckler. Yeah, that will do. Just
say,
pass Eckler the whole game.
Eckler's pretty good at those as well. He did say that Herbert's physical tools are as good as anybody I've ever seen.
I mean,
that's a pretty strong statement. He's seen a lot of quarterbacks. Went up against a lot of good quarterbacks in the day and. Best he's ever seen, John, for a guy that you were hating on yesterday in Justin Herbert.
He can't see over the offensive line, so I don't know how many he's actually seen.
You were putting him down a little bit. You were saying he wasn't a top 10.
I'm not calling him the seventh best quarterback in the league. If that's hating, then...
What do you think about the comments from Drew Brees? By all accounts, he's a great worker. He's got great leadership qualities. He's got a lot of intangibles. So I think the sky's the limit for a guy like him.
Has Drew Brees been in the locker room, like in the huddle with Justin Herbert?
I mean, it was over at a practice. You can learn a lot from a practice. Yeah, come on.
Is that what leadership is? Hoo-hawing at practice? Is that leadership?
Commanding the huddle, making audibles, making reads, telling guys where to line up. I mean,
I understand it's a part of it.
You can see a lot in practice, I think.
I'm sure Ben Simmons yells a lot at practice, too. I'm sure Joel Embiid does, too.
I think basketball is a lot different. I feel like basketball practice is just shoot-arounds for the majority of the time.
I don't think it is. I think you can be a good guy in the huddle. At practice, and then when the going gets tough, you don't lead. I think a lot of leadership comes like whenever times get hard. This is how I view leadership. It's just like, can you get it done when it matters? Can you do that? Now, sure, there's a lot of stuff like, are you making the right plays? Are you doing the right practicing? Ooh. All of those things. Are you leading by example? But also, telling me that you command a huddle in practice doesn't paint the whole picture. Just for me.
Leadership reps.
Sounds like a Butch Jones. Leadership reps. Yeah, we got to get these leadership reps in practice. A leader to me, and, you know, think of this more as a Call of Duty reference rather than actual war, but when the bullets start flying, what are you going to do?
Yeah, Dre, what do you do?
get domed up is what it sounded like yesterday.
Yeah, I was about to say get lit up like a Christmas tree out there.
But, I mean, is that not fair? Like, I mean, is that not true leadership? Like whenever adversity hits?
True leadership is when you're down by 26 points in a playoff game and you bring your team back and win a game.
Nate McMillan, big-time leader. Doc Rivers sounds great in those huddles, by the way.
Yeah.
Does he not? I mean, give it up to him. He sounds great in those huddles. Like, he does. I mean, that when they're blowing that lead and he's like, they go to him, he's like, hey, this is not about this game. This is about repetitions. This is about creating habits. Mm-hmm. You are 100% right, Doc.
Yeah,
you
have a habit of blowing
leads. You have created a lot of those habits.
Two in a row.
Great point by you. Great point by you. But that doesn't mean Justin Herbert can't be great or can't be a great leader.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I don't.
I still think that the main quote here are as good as anybody I've ever seen when it comes to physical tools. I think that's, I mean, you got to admit, that's pretty big statement.
Yeah. Sure. I think Drew Brees is getting in his analyst role and is going to be just praising everyone.
Why would he do that? Well, I mean, he's not covering the Chargers games.
Is he covering the NFL at all, though? I mean, I know he's doing college.
I think he's just doing college, isn't he? I mean, he might be like I don't know. I thought I just saw he's doing, Notre Dame games, right?
As far as like being like on the play-by-play but or color, I would imagine they're still going to have him like in the NBC like analyst booth. Wouldn't you say like during like the pregame show and stuff?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It's just like whenever these guys get in the booth, everyone's the greatest of all time all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like everyone's great. They never, you know, John Gruden, you know, he made a living off quarterback camp of just praising every single person. So excuse me if I'm not buying Drew Brees from one practice.
Okay.
Go Chargers. To hell, Chargers. Go to hell. I hate the Chargers team.
Why? What's your problem?
They beat us in the playoffs in 2010. They beat Vince Young in the playoffs in 2009 maybe actually. They always beat us in the playoffs. Played on them twice, I think. I had trouble with them.
Phillip Rivers, man.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. It was easy to carry over that hatred for him last year. He was with the Colts. Even though I kind of like Phillip Rivers because I think he's tough. I think he's a leader. Playing with a torn ACL in the AFC Championship.
He's a leader. The
playing
guy,
in the AFC Championship.
The guy that runs his mouth the whole game.
Well, I mean, to other teams. Playing with a torn ACL in the AFC Championship game. Limping around. Gunning it out. That's leadership, to me at least. I mean, I guess if Young at practice isn't for
you. Did they win that game?
They didn't, but at least
maybe just be better off with the backup.
I don't think that was the case. I mean, Billy Volek was okay, I guess, but I don't think that would have been better off. But either way, any other headlines?
Go to your boy, the Suns fan.
Do we know his name yet?
I've not seen a name for this guy, the guy that beat up two Nuggets fans and apparently.
Mr. Two-piece.
Save that. I want to talk about it. Let's catch a break. I want to talk more about this guy and the Suns after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Draven, tell me about it. Update me on my man, Suns and Four guy.
Apparently, what did we say his name was, Ryman? Nick McKellar. The guy that beat up two Nuggets fans. Looking like a.
Both of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Looking like a champ over the weekend, one of the winners of the weekend. Apparently, Devin Booker did say he's going to reach out to him. He did, and he said that he's going to provide a signed Booker jersey and tickets to a conference finals game.
I believe I was reading on the internet, this guy's like lives in Connecticut. Does it have more information about him? Like, I feel like he said
he's Denver.
Denver?
He lives in Denver now.
Mm.
Okay. I guess that's why you can't believe everything you read on the internet, because I had read somebody saying that he had to like fly to Denver for that game.
Oh,
so
really?
I wasn't sure. But that's convenient, I guess. So it'll be easy for him to get from Denver to Portland, I would imagine.
Or Phoenix.
Yeah, thank you. What did I say? Portland?
Yeah.
Will he get to meet Booker? If you're Booker, do you like go dap him up and talk to him? Be like, hey, man, nice punches? Or is it just one of those things like Booker makes a gesture, Booker gets the goodwill, and that's kind of it.
This is a good look, though. I mean, rewarding a guy for, like, kind of misbehaving in an arena. I mean, we've been kind of hard on the fans.
I think this guy was getting attacked.
I think so, too.
Again, we don't see the whole video, but the sucker punch, like, those two guys that ran off did not seem to be victims. So I'd imagine that guy was there cheering on his team and, like, got under people's skin, like, and then, like, they kind of got bullied. So I don't have a problem with this one. Has anybody have a problem with it? I did see some replies from people like to Devin Booker, like, oh, no, we're glorifying violence and stuff. Well, and like, people were just like, yeah.
He was kind of – they do say – McKellar said he was exchanging good-natured trash talk.
Right, Suns and Four. I imagine he was saying sons and four very a lot. I'd imagine that was why he went back to it after the fight, was that he had made them mad by talking about how they're about to sweep him. I'd imagine that was a good natured trash talk.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Like, Booker's going to bust your ass, sons and four.
What about on the other side? Would you go after a guy just, you know, trash talking?
No.
Okay.
Like, if the guy's talking, like, in a section?
Well, if he's, like, getting up in your face.
I think it's my face.
I feel like he may have been doing that, at least.
I don't
know. Like, maybe, like, really emphasizing it towards certain people.
I mean, if someone got in my face and put, like, a four in my face, like, it depends. Like, still, like I told you, the Georgia fan barked in my face on the street, and I've been thinking about how I wanted to punch him. So, like, I do wish I would have, but I didn't. But, I don't know. It depends how upset I was.
Usually the people aren't worth it. That's how I felt about the 76ers fans I saw in Atlanta.
In Kansas City, when I went to the AFC Championship, I was pretty emotionally invested in that. If some Chiefs fans would have really got into it with me, maybe. But I've been outnumbered, you know, being in their stadium.
You always would be.
Right, pretty much. Right. On a road
this guy
stadium.
Was outnumbered.
Right. But this, well,
then they sold a two-piece special, and they're
You were asking from the other perspective, though, of, like, the Nuggets fan. Like, I wouldn't punch a fan, like, on the road just for nothing. I might say something, and then if it goes from there, maybe.
It does say –
might chirp back a little.
It does say the recordings and other eyewitnesses' accounts and have backed up McKellar's statements, basically saying he had to fight back to only to defend himself.
You could tell that from the video, I thought, of just the way the people around him reacted. Like I said, like none of them had an issue with him. Like, they were all kind of just like either laughing or just kind of like, like they didn't jump in and try to break it up. They kind of just let that guy get what he deserved.
Surrounding fans cheered McKellar after the altercation ended.
Like I said, those two guys just look like little punks.
Yeah.
Cool of Devin Booker, though. Been a good playoffs for him.
Wonder if he gets to choose what game he gets to go to.
What would you pick?
It's tough.
You want to go for the first game? Like, say, let's say that the Clippers win. Chris Paul's out. You go for game one? Or you just try to do, like, whatever the weekend is. Like, I'll go, like, we'll try to
work around your schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
It does say it is unclear which game McKellar will attend.
Do you hold off for a game seven? Like, hey, bro, I'm gonna wait to see if there's an elimination game at home. Because I feel like if you're playing the Jazz, you hold off for game six. Try to close them out.
Yeah.
But there might not be a game six. So maybe go to game four and hope you're up 2-1 and you can just really cheer on like a 3-1 lead. Or Suns in four. Who knows? If I'm Devin Booker, I'm like, sorry, bro, you got to come in four. Suns in four.
That's all you got to do. Just beat up a couple of posing fans, get it recorded, and maybe you get a free ticket, John.
It's nice when these
Now I know.
There you go.
Being people, guys.
It's nice when these stories come out and the guys that get canceled, though.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you have, like, a viral sensation. I mean, I still remember, wasn't it the Ocean Spray guy, the cranberry juice guy, didn't they try to cancel him afterwards? Pull up, like, all of his, like, social media posts where he'd been, like, tweeting, like, the N-word. And then people were arguing back with
him. The guy that was, like, skating around listening to that one
like,
song.
He had some, like, questionable tweets, but then somebody was like, oh, well, he's Mexican. Some people don't care if Mexicans say that. And they'll be like, no, the next Mexicans can't say that. They're not black. And then he just had a whole deeper discussion. So it was just a whole thing. I haven't seen anything bad come out about this guy.
Little shout to him.
Like, I just want to know if the Suns like bring him out and let him do like a pregame thing. You know, like,
a signed jersey, dude. This guy didn't. It's not like he saved somebody from.
He saved himself.
Like,
he saved himself.
He just punched a couple dudes.
Well, I know, but they let Triple H come to the Sixers game and like ring the bell. I didn't know Triple H was a big Sixers fan. I'm sure the Suns have something. Like almost every fan base has something where like you do something pregame, right? Like there's some type of either. Yeah. You like do the "Let's Go Suns" chant at center court or Just didn't know. Like, you think a lot of people in the stadium knows who this guy's going to be? Like, do you think they'll recognize him?
Maybe they'll put him on the big screen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, like you put him on the big screen, let him get going crazy, let like
show some highlights of him punching those guys.
Yeah, acting like a Rocky guy, just hold up his fist like the boxers, and they show them at sporting events. Just hold up the fist.
They're gonna send the gorilla up.
Awesome.
They're gonna send the gorilla up there with boxing gloves.
No, all he needs is blocks and goes, just hold up the fist and then hold up the four. That's all he's got to do. Fist and four, and everyone goes crazy. That'd be pretty cool to be the face of a franchise, a fan base.
Yeah.
He's the most famous Suns fan right now, right?
Yeah, the champion of the Suns.
Besides the big gorilla?
Yeah. And
which is kind of weird. Why is their mascot a gorilla?
You tell me that. I mean,
what would it be? A son with sunglasses on or something?
I mean, I'm not saying I don't have a better alternative. I'm just asking why it's the gorilla. Is a gorilla like the official animal of Phoenix? It seems too hot there, but maybe not. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know the backstory of that at all.
But it's a very recognizable mascot.
Yeah.
It's one of the more famous ones, I would say. At least in the NBA. Good move by Devin Booker. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Going up at 3 o'clock, Russell Smith, the Drive Guys, will be out on location at Jets Pizza. If you're looking to sneak off work a little early, grab some pizza, watch some U.S. Open. Hell, we haven't even got a U.S. Open leaderboard update yet.
Oh, wow. Mm.
As we get one ready, Draven, you get me a leaderboard update.
Will do.
Ryan, you said you have the backstory for why the Suns have a gorilla and that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's very unexpected. So, the mischievous mascot was an accident. It was a singing telegram messenger from Eastern Union came to the Coliseum during a home game just to give a message. As he left the stadium, the security asked him to do a couple dances underneath the basket, you know, just kind of for their own amusement. But the fans loved it, too.
Okay, and that's it?
And wow. The rest is history.
When was that?
What do you know?
Does it say what year that was?
There's no year.
Okay, that's fun. I mean, that's as long as I can remember. Right. You got me a leaderboard update, Draven?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm waiting.
At the top of the... Leaderboard at the at the moment. I was gonna say something.
I got it. I got the leaderboard
update.
I was
gonna say something creative, but it's Matthew Wolf.
Okay.
Right now,
big Matthew Wolf, 3 under through 5. He's known to be somebody that can get hot. He's starting on the back nine, so came out birdied 10, birdied 12 and 13. It's 3 under through 5. He's up there. A couple other names you might know: Tyrell Hatton, 2 under. Siwoo Kim. I guess Brooks has started. He started on the back nine. He started on the back nine as well. Okay, he's 1 under through 5. Francesco Molinari, also 1 under. As is Victor Hovland, one of my guys. He started on the front nine. Yep, Xander and Woodland, 1 under. Okay, those are the only guys under par right now that are noteworthy, unless you're just a big Henrik Stenson fan, I guess. But okay. Torrey Pines are off and running. Go ahead.
Got a couple favorites, a couple bets you want to
I got no bets. I'm rooting for my guy Morikawa, but he is 2 over through 5, so not going well for him. Dang, he's starting on the back five. Came out in a couple bogeys to start the round.
I have money on Xander Schauffele.
Okay. He is always going to be near the top, and then will probably not win. What kind of odds do you get him at, intern Ryan?
Plus 650.
That's it? To win?
Mm-hmm. Because he's hometown. He's from that area. He's played on the course growing up. So they're saying that he knows it.
Yeah, still, you sure that wasn't like a top 5 or top 10 bet on accident? Because I don't feel like he wasn't the favorite, was he?
No, he's not the favorite. Yeah. Wasn't Morikawa?
No, Morikawa's 20-1. I want to say that John Rahm was a favorite at like 7 or 8 to 1. So I don't know. Maybe you've got a different
Let me take a glance.
Just a winner. Yeah, make sure there, because it feels more like a top 5 bet than an outright win bet. But Schauffele is one of the best golfers right now, especially if you are, you know, holding it down to best golfers without a major championship. He's always close. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the mix. Does he break through? John Rahm, like I said, the favorite right now. He is trying to, you know, make up some money lost from the Memorial a couple weeks ago when he got the COVID.
Oh, no.
You're right. That was top 5.
Okay. Yeah.
His odds to win, plus 1,400.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like more, yeah. Because I think John Rahm is like around, what, 8 to 1, somewhere around there?
Yeah, plus 1,100, John Rahm. And then Brooks Koepka right here is plus 1,000.
Brooks, very, very popular. Been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. 1 under through that. So, all right. Yeah, no, I like your Xander bet to finish top 5. Like I said, he's always around. Always around. So they didn't pair Brooks and Bryson together. Bryson tees off at 5:44 today. John Rahm tees off at 6:06, so those are a couple of the heavy hitters back towards the end of the afternoon. That's the good thing about these West Coast tournaments is that you kind of get to watch them starting around lunch and then get to ride it out through the night. So, like, that Sunday coverage of the final round will be in prime time.
Nice.
Anybody you're rooting for, Draven? You like golf at all? You got anybody you care about?
Brooks.
Big Barstool guy. I like Brooks. Brooks is funny.
I do like Brooks a little bit.
Everyone likes Brooks. Everyone likes Brooks. You're not alone there.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to mention the lefty real quick. He's plus 1. through three.
I mean, I would be shocked if he was in any type of contention again. I mean, I think he had his moment. Now, with that being said, I was shocked he won last time. So, I guess if he's around contention, you know, that'll make people look. And I did see, you know, a lot of exposure for the gambling books, the sports books, you know, holding money that people have bet on Lefty. But I don't think he'll be a factor. I'd actually bet that he'll probably miss the cut. I mean, he's still riding high off his major. Like, that's a good end to his career if that's the last tournament he ever wins. So, I don't think he's all of a sudden going to go from an afterthought to now we're going to have to worry about him every major. So we'll keep an update on him because people like him. But, yeah, no, I'm not expecting much from him. I do wonder, like, how if, you know, the big names are going to kind of break through and have a big moment. Rory hasn't won a big one in a while. I'd like to see Rory be up there. Dustin Johnson hasn't played very well lately after being, you know, the best golfer in the world at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Spieth, wants to see him kind of continue to play well. So, you know, there's some storylines here, although I don't know. Is there a bigger storyline than just the Bryson Brooks beef? Like, I mean, like, we've been wanting to see them pair together. The tour won't do it, but do they maybe set up a or does maybe fate set up a, you know, a pairing on Saturday or Sunday if they're near each other on the leaderboard? It'd be kind of fitting, right, after all the trash they've been talking.
Yeah. You think it would get any hostile out there, any little comments here or there? I think they would be professional.
I think they'd be professional, but I think they'd both be very locked in. I don't think there'd be very much joking. Now, I do think you'd run some risk of Brooks' fans that were following him around trying to heckle Bryson. It might be like a Shooter McGavin, Happy Gilmore type of situation. I mean, it might be that way, and there might have to be some intervention from the rules officials. But no, I don't think Brooks and Bryson are going to, like, brawl out there. And I don't know how much I believe they actually hate each other. I think they're both trying to, you know, Brooks says it's good for the game.
Playing into it a little bit.
There's that social media drawing interest bonus now, like, from the PGA Tour. So I think both of them like driving the views up and like being talked about. Yeah. But I do think it helps both of them. I do think it helps Brooks more because he always usually gets the best of Bryson. Bryson plays a pretty good oaf or a pretty good just like straight nerd type of thing.
Yeah.
But Brooks, you know, Brooks hasn't won a major recently. Bryson is the defending U.S. Open champion. Blew the field away last year. I think he's only got under par, right? I mean, I think he was 6 under par and everyone else was even, even or worse. Jeez. So, I mean, like, he probably feels pretty good and wants to win this one.
Bryson's such a baby, man.
Just as we started talking about Matthew Wolf, bogeyed 6, so back to 200. Tied for the lead now. Wolf's one of those guys that catches fire, but also kind of gets in his own head. Like he seems like a very high variance player where he can catch fire and beat anybody, but also like just completely collapse. There was a tournament last year I remember during COVID where he was up like 3 strokes going into Sunday over Bryson, and by like the third hole, Bryson already had like a 1 stroke lead. Like it just kind of imploded. You said who's a baby, Bryson?
Yeah,
that's what everyone says.
He is, man. Just comments about the major or the Masters.
What do you say about the Masters? I mean, he does seem to get pretty rattled. Like, he does have those blow-ups. Like, ants have bothered him before. He'll argue with rules officials. He'll do things like that. That I think he's right that people don't like him, so they make it a bigger deal. And he's almost too smart for his own good. But, like, he's one of those arguers that is right and it makes people mad. I've been there before. Draven's challenged me to a boxing match. But, like, you know, he's like, hey, everyone's mad that I'm arguing with rules officials, but when Phil Mickelson does it, no one cares. That's just him knowing the rules better than everybody. That's like, they praise Phil Mickelson for that, and they call me a baby. But he also does act like a baby sometimes. I'm not, you know, acting like he doesn't. But I'm rooting for him, especially since if my guy Morikawa is going to come out. Cam, you got any action this weekend
on the U.S. Open? I do not on golf. I do not. I may get into it a little bit later in the week.
Okay.
But yeah, as of right now, nope.
It was hard to devote some money to golf over on FanDuel whenever the NBA playoffs and Euros are going
on. Yeah, that's what's been taking up most of my attention. Yeah. Shout out Belgium trying to get it done.
Yeah, let's go Belgium.
You guys just have them straight up.
Let's eat the waffles.
Yeah,
just need to win.
Just to win.
You too, Cam?
Just to win.
I just need them to score 2 goals, so I'm cool.
Yeah, he's already good. I need them to hold on to win. So you, like in soccer betting, Draven, it's a little bit tougher because of the ties.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the group stage, it counts as a loss. You have to.
Yeah, unless you straight bet on tie.
Right, unless you straight bet on tie, which you have to be a madman to do that.
Odds are good, though.
The odds are always good, but this is it. Betting on ties is just a weird place to find yourself in.
That's my favorite thing to do when you get, like, two, like, really bad teams.
Oh, yeah. And like, and there'll probably be some good chances to bet on ties in the third game of this group stage because the settings might, or the standings might already be there. Teams might not try push forward and things like that. But yeah, I feel like you're a madman if you bet on ties. FanDuel has a couple good options over there where you can bet on like either the game with no tie, like a tie just calls a push, or you get like a double option of team and draw. That's pretty good if you're betting on underdogs. What about you, intern Ryan? Besides Xander, anybody you're rooting for this weekend at the U.S. Open?
I do like the way Will Zalatoris has been playing. That young kid from Wake Forest.
Yeah, he's a fun kid, right? He's kind of an up-and-comer. Right? Was it the Masters he was in?
Yeah, the Masters. He was like came in third or something like that.
I was going to say, I remember him at the top, but DJ kind of ran away. What was it? DJ won the Masters?
No, it was
not DJ, but
Matsuyama.
Yeah.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
He's just young.
Was it that one Zalatoris in, or was it the end? Was it the Masters last year?
This was his first Masters.
Okay. I thought there was a guy like him that was the one that happened in like October or November that was close, but DJ just kind of ran away with it. I thought that might have been him, but maybe not.
No, he finished second this past.
Okay.
Masters.
Maybe it was Cameron Smith, I guess I was thinking
Cameron of. Yeah, they both have the long
guy.
Locks.
Okay. That's right.
Tommy Fleetwood looks like him.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah, but Cameron Smith's the other blonde, right? Like Zalatoris. Okay. Yeah. That checks out.
But yeah, Zalatoris.
Because he finished second, but was, five strokes behind DJ.
Zalatoris is like that prodigy kid. Like, he got the Arnold Palmer Golf Scholarship, like the last one. That,
and he's actually living up to it?
Yeah. Okay. He's actually doing it. So he's a guy to look at. He's a later tee time today, too, playing along with some of the greats. Well, not greats, like Jordan Spieth kind of going head-to-head.
Some of the fan favorites,
Which,
I mean, Spieth was great at one time.
True.
Looked to be, like, on the way to being an all-time great. I guess he could still get there, but it looked inevitable at one point. Kind of how it did for Rory, too. I mean, like, Rory's still at the top of his game, but I think I would say, like, you know, Spieth's disappointed with the way his career has gone since, like, busting on the scene and winning all those, the majors. I kind of feel like Rory probably feels similar. Because it looks like those two guys were set to run the sport, and they both just kind of...
Especially Rory, the way they...
Yeah, the young kids are starting to get it.
Yeah, like, they aren't, like, really at the... I mean, they're still, like, in the top, especially Rory's still, like, a top 10 golfer, but doesn't seem to really ever be a factor in the majors anymore.
Yeah. He's either really on or really off.
I'm still... The thing with Rory, I mean, just from the year and a half I've really kept up with golf, 2 years I've kept up with golf, it seems like Rory is... That's how he plays every tournament. Like, he's really off... one round, and then we'll put himself in too big of a hole to come back. Then he'll catch fire. At some point on Saturday or Sunday, they'll like, let's go to check in on Roy McIlroy, and he'll be like 6 under over his last like 10 holes, but still 5 shots back. Just from what I've watched. I do really like the majors, though. That and in tennis. Like I didn't really talk about it on Monday, but I watched all 5 hours of that Djokovic. Tsitsipas, like, final. It was like four hours and 15 minutes. I was captivated by that. I do like whenever like the major championships are on the line. I do... Those matter, which is also good and bad for the sport, for people like me, because it's hard to care about the non-majors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in the media, we kind of do those things. That's a big topic of conversation right now in the NBA, Draven, is like, oh, no, the Lakers aren't in it. Oh, shucks, like, this finals doesn't seem like it's going to matter. The major markets are gone. Instead of, like, celebrating, yeah, this Chris Paul story is pretty cool. Hey, Devin Booker, new superstar on the mix. Like, this Jazz team kind of doing it the right way and building and drafting two superstars, or, two stars between Mitchell and Gobert. Like, I mean, I agree. Like, those guys aren't superstars. But, like, drafting, building through the draft, doing it the right way. And, hey, look, you even have the Brooklyn Nets, but.
Wow, Trae Young's pretty good.
Right, the Hawks and Giannis. But, like, instead, we're like, hey, the major markets aren't in it. Where's LeBron? Oh, this stinks. Oh, man, Jokic won MVP. I don't know if he's really MVP. It was just an injury-riddled season. Instead of, like, trying to create new stars. Sports kind of struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, that's kind of what I think hurts the sport of golf outside of the majors is telling, like, some of these tournaments matter. And there was Talking Golf with John Draven and Cam and intern Ryan.
Hey.
Shout out Will Zalatoris. Name to keep an eye on. How old is he, Ryan?
24?
Okay. Is that still, like, really young? Yeah. Like, I mean, how old is Morikawa? I feel like is he the same age as, like, Morikawa? Like,
I think Morikawa is, like, 28.
I don't think he's not that old. Morikawa's not that old. I think
Zalatoris is 24.
I feel like Morikawa and, like, Hovland are both pretty young. I was going to say, I thought Morikawa
was 24 as well.
Okay, I was going to say.
Oh, wow, okay, yeah. He's much younger than I expected.
Yeah, he just kind of bust on the scene, like, year and a half, basically right at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Man.
So the new wave of golfers kind of here. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. We got NFL news today. Any NFL stuff going on? Anything?
No, not really, actually.
I just had it in my head I was going somewhere with that. Did anything happen? Did I miss anything? Got the Madden cover. We hit that.
Yep.
Dwayne Haskins apparently says he's going to prove a lot of doubters wrong with the Steelers.
On the bench?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Holding a clipboard.
Who knew he could do that?
All right. Man, there was something I thought you said we had.
Vince Wilfork's son stole a Super Bowl ring.
That's pretty tough. That's tough.
That is nuts.
Allen Robinson says he's going to play on a one-year deal. Says like he's just going to go and show up for Chicago, I guess, and try to get out of there. And you said we got tight end rankings?
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
Positional rankings. Is this from the same quarterback Schmohawk?
No, this is this is from CBS, according to Jordan DeJani.
That's the only guy that's the only guy I respect.
Yeah, that's the most respected guy over there, for sure.
Jordan DeJani, friend of Talk Sports. That is the only NFL expert I believe in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Top tight ends. I'm going to assume that number one is Travis Kelce.
You are correct.
What? It's not Kyle Pitts?
I think it should be George Kittle, but I acknowledge he wasn't healthy and that Travis Kelce had a really great year. Is George Kittle number two?
He is, coming in at number two.
I think, again, that Kittle is better than Kelce when healthy, but either way. I'd like to see George Kittle on that Chiefs offense.
Number three gets a little interesting, though, John.
Number three is going to be tough to see.
Here's where you go here.
I mean, I think it's...
Is it going to be Darren Waller?
I think it's Darren Waller.
Darren Waller is correct.
Okay, his number. I mean, I think it's Jonnu Smith, but either way.
I think it's Kyle Pitts. Wow.
Not in the top 10.
Wow. Jonnu Smith's not in the top 10?
Nope.
He was electric at the start of last year.
Love seeing Jordan not give him the rub because he's no longer a Titan. I mean, Kyle Pitts probably will be on this list next year. I'm imagining he's not on it now just because he hasn't proven anything. Draven, is Kyle Pitts on the list?
He sure is. He comes in at number four.
Okay.
Let's go! That.
Man.
Get you excited, Cam?
That's my tight end.
That's big. That's a rookie.
That's my tight end right there.
I think that seems pretty fair with us.
Big brain over there at CBS Sports. So.
I mean, Kyle Pitts better be. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, he better be the fourth best tight end the way that he's been talked about, right? I mean, and since it's not like he's going to an offense that doesn't have a quarterback, that he's like, playing with a quarterback that's not very good. Like Matt Ryan, good quarterback. Some would say elite. Some would say great. I'll say a very good quarterback.
Some would say MVP.
Some would say that was 5 years ago. And that,
he has more than most people.
That he's like Carson Wentz level. But,
he doesn't have an MVP.
He does not. That is correct. But, I mean, Arthur Smith with that offense is going to, unlock Kyle Pitts, or he should. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a good offensive mind with him that should do good things for him.
Been lining him up everywhere in the training camps.
As he should. And they did that. I mean, they did that. Arthur Smith did that with Jonnu Smith. Like, there were times when Arthur Smith lined up Jonnu Smith as running back. Like, there's a couple plays where the Titans just flipped the ball to him, like, on an H-back toss.
Rushing touchdowns. Yep.
And he had a couple that were just long, like, 40-yard gains against the Texans. Yeah. And, they did that a couple times, just gave him different looks. So I do think Arthur Smith will be willing to move Pitts around. Mm-hmm. And maximize him. And I did, Cam, think that you should be excited about Arthur Smith's answer to a question yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, did you realize you ran the ball 61% of the time on first down? Mm-hmm. And to which Arthur Smith said, did you realize I had Derrick Henry? Which, I mean, at times it did seem like the Titans maybe should have been a little bit less predictable.
Fantasy sleeper running back Quadre Olison on the Falcons.
Yep, just picked him up in the Dynasty League.
Good call.
Yep.
He's a big back. They're gonna use him definitely, goal line situations for sure.
Isn't Mike Davis kind of a punch it in back, a power back a little bit?
He's actually not that big. Like he's stocky, but he's not.
I think of him as a power runner too. I mean, Camden's gonna know better about the Falcons than I do about how they're gonna use him. He reads more about him. But I always thought of Mike Davis as a. I want to say
he,
like a big back.
He broke the most tackles last year, but he is a little more. He's not large stature-wise, like, if that makes sense. Like, he's only, like, I want to say, like, 5'9", 5'10".
Right, but I think him kind of like a Michael Turner type of
thing. Yeah,
Not as good as Michael Turner, that's obviously, but, like, just a bowling ball.
Yeah, that's fair.
I imagined, like, I thought he would be getting goal line carries, but either way. All right, so Kyle Pitts coming in at number four. Is he going to be under the most pressure of any rookie?
I think so.
At least, is there a quarterback under more? Like, what quarterback would be under more? Because I feel like –
Zach Wilson.
No.
Zach Wilson, that's a good one.
Yeah, I would say Zach Wilson for sure, just because he's going to be for sure a starter, right? Like, there's no other competition there.
And I would
Najee Harris some wiggle room. Is under a lot of pressure, too, for the Steelers.
I would say not to win, Cam, for Zach Wilson,
yeah.
But he better be good. Like, yeah. I don't think they need to win games.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a ton of pressure. Like, because I think he'll be all right.
I would say he's like Zach Wilson, though, needs to be good, though. Like, yeah, like that, they can go 3-13, and like, that won't be a big deal.
I think he needs to match basically kind of what like Burrow was kind of like last year, to where people were like, oh, look, he's doing
without
you know,
the torn
what
ACL.
We kind of expect. Yeah, without the injury.
Yeah.
But people were like, okay, he's kind of doing what we expected from him, even though they're not, you know, winning anything crazy. He's still putting up decent numbers. I think he kind of needs to do something like that. And then, yeah, Wilson, like you said, I don't think.
I mean, Trey Lance is going to eventually get in for the 49ers, right? Yeah. Justin Fields is eventually going to get into the Bears. Yeah. I think both those guys are going to have something to prove, I guess. Yeah. So maybe saying that Kyle Pitts is under the most pressure isn't accurate because the quarterback's always going to have more pressure.
Off the rip, though, I mean, he's going to be one of those day one guys that you're expecting to do something.
Well, they've been calling him a phenom, right? They've been calling him like.
They're calling him a unicorn.
Right. Like, he's coming in and supposed to be like. The LeBron James type, basically LeBron James level player, right?
I mean, we're calling him the best player in the draft, like just overall player. Some people have him listed as that best skill position player, obviously for sure.
And it hurts him that he is listed as tight end because it puts him under more pressure. But I mean, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Or you know,
he's
going
to be used like it.
Right. Yeah. You should think of him as a wide receiver, and then it doesn't put as much pressure on him as a tight end. But he better be at least capable of blocking.
What about these other receivers?
Yeah, go ahead.
On them?
Go ahead and run. Oh, the for wide receivers.
Can I take a guess real quick? Oh.
We're still talking about just the rookies under press right now. I thought he was going to make that too. But, I mean, not Jefferson. I always make that. Chase.
Jamar Chase.
Waddle, Chase Smith. Lord, like, they need to be productive just simply because.
I say Chase too because, you know, Cincinnati fans wanted them to take a lineman there.
Sure. Yeah.
And you go receiver. Yeah. And there's supposed to be all this chemistry. With those two guys in Cincinnati. True. So.
And I would say that, like, the reason that wide or the fact that rookie wide receivers have come in and been pretty good the last couple years, like, those guys need to be good. There's not really a learning curve anymore for them. In the past, wide receiver, like, oh, yeah, it's tough to play wide receiver as a rookie. It takes at least 2 years, but not anymore. So, yeah, I would say they're under pressure, but it's not like they're going to get rid of them or anything.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, no one really cared that Jalen Reagor wasn't very good in Philadelphia last year, right? Like, no one bashed him. He was a top-level pick, right, as well? Or at least
he's the first round.
Yeah. Terrence Ross and Mike Williams and Corey Davis all got passes for a little bit, right, in terms of trying to develop. So I would say less pressure there. None of them were also talked about like Kyle Pitts, though, so.
All right. Anybody want to take a guess at number 5 tied in on the list?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Mark Andrews.
It is not Mark Andrews.
Seems pretty high for him. Number 5.
Is it my boy TJ?
No, it's not going to be TJ Hawkinson. TJ Hawkinson's not.
It is
TJ Hawkinson.
It is TJ Hawkinson.
Oh, wow.
TJ Hawkinson.
I would have bet TJ Hawkinson was not in the top 10.
Really?
I mean, he played pretty well, actually.
He played great
last year.
Did he?
Yeah, towards the end of the year for sure, too, I think, if I remember correctly. But
I mean, I liked him. He's been one of my fantasy like sleepers late in the draft the last couple years, and I haven't been rewarded for it, but okay.
A little surprise there. I mean, 700 yards, 6 touchdowns. I guess that's not bad.
I mean, I think Goff. Are they talking about projecting for next year or?
Yeah. I mean, going into 2021.
So no. Okay, but that kind of just means as of now. So not even predicting what they'll do next year. So, I mean, I think that Goff will work the tight end. I would imagine Dan Campbell is somebody who's going to really want to utilize the tight end, right? Didn't Dan Campbell play tight end?
Yeah.
For the Giants.
He sure did.
Only good guy to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Got to be good.
All right, run through the rest of the top 10 for us. We're almost out of time.
All righty. We got Mark Andrews, number 6. Still pretty high.
That's still good, though. Good job by you, intern Ryan.
A little surprise here.
Way to handle your frustration in a professional manner.
Little surprise at 7, though, in my opinion. Dallas Goedert with the Eagles taking over.
I think he's pretty good, man. I thought he's been better than Ertz the last, like, 2 years, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if he's going to have the production with their quarterback position. Yeah. You know, I don't know what I would think of that offense. But he might be their number one receiver, so who knows. But I like Goddard. Again, I don't know if I'd put him 7, but I think he's pretty talented.
Yep. We got Noah Fant at number 8.
Okay.
Hunter Henry, number 9 with the Patriots.
So they got him ranked ahead of Jonnu because wasn't he the one that got the big money compared to Henry? Or did they get like pretty much the same deal?
I think they got similar. I think Jonnu made more.
36 mil maybe or something like that. Okay.
And then number 10, Mike Gesicki, rounding out the top 10.
I'd put Gesicki probably 7th, honestly. I'd put him there in the Who do we have at 7?
Goddard.
Yeah. Wow. I'd probably put Goddard and Gesicki ahead of Hockenson, just personally, but either way, I don't really have that big of a problem with it.
Yeah, Blake Jarwin.
Johnny's making somewhere about $13 million more.
$13 million more. I thought he got a little bit bigger of a deal because we also didn't have the injury concerns. So.
Yep.
All right, hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.